No credit for Manasseh, right?
We're going to discuss in the next half hour or so the different parts of the calculus that go into how we should organize the davening for this year. The background for our discussion is the Shechter said that one that in situations where a shul has to use a location several times and doesn't have other locations, so then one is able to pare down the davening. And in order to be able to have several communities, several minyanim, one after the other. In a more recent, Rav Shechter extended this. He broadened the concept of limiting the davening and paring down the davening, and did so out of the concern that there is a risk to spending more time in the tzibur together. Now, obviously, the thinking that goes into this hayra is clear and elemental. That if there is a sakana, even a safek sakana, so even though minhagim are extremely precious, and even though the Maril and the remote quotes the Maril are saying that one should not tamper with the davening, nevertheless, if there is a concern, a suffix of sakana sefoshes, so there's no question that one pares down the davening as much as one can. The question that we have is, first of all, we are not in a situation, Baruch Hashem, because of the generosity of our membership, both in terms of the space, and backyards, and tents. So we are not in a situation where we have to use the same space over again. We, Baruch Hashem, will be able to have 1 minyan per location, and we have, Baruch Hashem, many, many backyards that we can use, and many people who are very, very welcoming to use their backyards and to use to have tents. Baruch Hashem, that speaks to the generosity of our community. In addition, the medical panel in our community do question whether there is an increased risk in being in the same place, whether it's 2 hours or 3 hours. And therefore, it's difficult to have a position that to be in a certain place for a certain location for a certain number of hours it doesn't have a sakana attached to it, because if there's a sakana, you shouldn't be davening, you should be davening michidus. So to be in a place for 2 hours, 2.5 hours, that is of such a low level sakana that one can daven bitzibur, and yet to be there for 3 hours, for 4 hours, 4.5 hours, that the level of sakana rises to the extent that one should not be there. And that's an idea which is not accepted by our medical panel. And in addition, we are now in a position where many parts of our membership are back into the routine. Our community is, we would say, all over the place. There are those who are still very, very much restricting their activity, and there are those in the community who are very comfortable and going back to the shigrat ha'chayim, the routine. And there are certainly the nature of the community is such that we are sending our children back to the routine. Could be that there's a lower standard to be able to work at home, but probably not. I assume not. I assume that if we're sending our children back, that means that the community is at a point of comfort, and as we've spoken about so many times, that the way that we define a sakana is what is the reaction of the people to the sakana. There are points when the medical community defines a sakana, and there are points when people define the nature of sakana. So in this particular case, for the large group of our community, for the overwhelming percentage, the medical community does not see that a shortened davening is significantly safer, and a large percentage of our community are willing to be with distancing and with masks and with a vetting, with a self vetting to make sure that the people who are not well don't come into the group. So when you put all of this together, there certainly is a large percentage of the community which is comfortable. And then to say that that this works for so much of the routine of life, but then we pull back when it comes to davening, so that becomes, a difficult position to maintain. However, there is many people have a great discomfort in wearing masks for a period of time. And if the Yom Tov is a hot Yom Tov, it will be very uncomfortable to be outside and intense. And so that, then it stands to reason to say that at some time, that at some point, we may be saying more, but we'll be saying it with less kavana and with less intent because the degree of comfort will be so great. So the calculus that goes into figuring out how the davening is going to work this year is, on one hand, that we can't be callous to the concerns of health, and we have to take all the precautions, and we have to continuously be monitoring what are the latest concerns and continuously updating the advice from our medical panels. But it does probably more accurately includes the degree of discomfort with the masks, the degree of discomfort in the heat, if one will be outside. If one's inside, then it's only the masks. And on the other hand, the hesitation that Klal Yisrael has in tampering with the davening, with tampering with minhagim. The Rama writes that al yishane adam miminogair afilu b'nigunim or b'piyutim shayimim sham. Quotes the Maharil that one should not be changing the minhagim and not even the nigunim and not the piyutim. Now again, in this particular case, the change, it'd be mutter to change, as Rav Shechter has pointed out several times, that a minhag of this sort, as important and as sacrosanct as minhagim are, but there are times when a minhag does have to give way. This would be one of them. And in addition, the Rav Shechter points out that we would not even require Toras Nedarim, because when a minhag has to be disturbed for a distinct period of time, and it's only for that period of time, and it's for a specific situation, so then that is understood to be part of the workings of the minhag in its establishment. And then I would say that personally, one of the issues of that works on me is that mitzvah lishmoya ledevei chachamim, that if Rav Shechter has a hayrah, it becomes very, very difficult for our community, our talmidim, not to fall in line. Meidach, you have many people who would be very, very disappointed. In fact, probably more of our community would feel disappointed with a Yom Tov davening that doesn't have the piyutim and that we are used to having. Some of us don't realize that when we talk about piyutim, so Nesana Tokef is the one of the latest piyutim to be added. So if we're talking about doing some sort of surgery on the davening, so logically, we can argue that it's because of the emotions will be different, but logically, when the sound of Tokuf would be one of the first ones to go. So that is, again, hard for us to imagine. And the fact that it's hard for us to imagine, that should be instructive. So it would be disappointing for many because it would impact on the Yom Tov, and it would be disappointing for many because so many of us, when COVID was at its height, and we hope never to go back anywhere near to that, so many of us positioned ourselves towards the Rebbeinu Shlomo and say, when we get back to the shul, we're going to be there. We're going to be there completely, leiv and nefesh, and therefore, Yom Nirom, to say, okay, Baruch Hashem, in a much better place, we can come back and be with Tzibur. We have to be with masks, we have to be socially distanced, but we're back, not to come to Kadosh Baruch Hu with tremendous hachna and tremendous passion, excitement, and say we want to chop every payet, every piyut that we've said in previous years. So in my mind, that's the balance, that on one hand, there is great discomfort by some people in the shul, and I want them to have a meaningful daven, one that's aggravated. And we have, on one hand, the Maharil, who says, don't touch the davening. On the other hand, Mitzvah L'Shmona Devei Chachamim, Rav Shechter says we have to be very, very careful and be willing to cut down the davening. So I would suggest the way that I would negotiate this, and then we'll explain a little bit deeper, is that there are minhagim which I think are easier to loosen up on. So one of them is the minhag, even though it is a minhag that goes back to the time of the Balei Tosfos, to have specific mishaberachs. And a person gets an aliyah, makes a mishaberach. So even though we are in the practice of discouraging mishaberach, and certainly long mishaberach during the course of the year, because they increase the opportunities that people have for talking, and their minds wander, and it lengthens the davening unnecessarily. And Yom Nehrom, we've gone easy in that, because Yom Nehrom is an Eis Tzara. And Tosfos says that to make a neder Eis Tzara, so that goes back to Yaakov Avinu. It's hard to find a minhag which has a stronger historical basis, and going back to Yaakov Avinu made a neder based tzara. Nevertheless, I think that we can still make a templated mishaberach for everybody gets the aliyah, and that way we won't have the longer mishaberach. Everybody's name is mentioned, and we'll still have mishaberach. We'll still have the opportunity of making a neder b'shas based tzara, and in addition, we will pare down the time that people are seated and uncomfortable very, very significantly. I would say the same thing for the Mishaberach for Cholim. Even the Yom Nehrom, we should be even more attuned to the Mishaberach for Cholim. But if every minion just mentions the Cholim of the Mispalm in that minion, then it's got to be a lot shorter. So a person comes to the minion with the name of a Chol already written down, then that'll be much shorter than the Mishaberach for the Cholim, and that in itself, I think, will contract the davening. Then I would say that any person who is concerned about the discomfort of being in mask, the discomfort of the heat, so should come for Nishmas. That's also, the minyan will start, like always start with the Shira Yichud, for those who are able. Person finds it uncomfortable, so then they'll be coming in already 40, 45 minutes. So between coming at Nishmas and taking out the Mishaberachs, we already have significantly reduced the timing of davening. And then I'm thinking as well that the last 30 kolos, which are a minog, and may even be a chavis atzibur, not a chavis yachin, to have them after Kaddish Tiskavo. So a person is uncomfortable, he's been sitting for a while, he came by Nishmas, and he's davening the shacharis and the leaning and the musaf, so he can go home after the Kaddish Tiskavo. He doesn't have to wait for another 30 kolos, and that will also increase his or her level of comfort and make the davening much easier. In addition, our practice is that we, on a regular Shabbos and Yom Tov, so before we come to shul, if a person needs to drink something, tea, water, to make the Adam strength or make it, we say that one can drink before davening in order to make sure it makes it through the davening. So in this situation, I would suggest that if people can come with water and even with, and certainly drink, take sips through Shacharis and even up to Tkiyas Shofar. So that means a person who is very uncomfortable will be able to hydrate themselves. It's hot, they'll be able to hydrate themselves much better than any other Yom Tov. Even though we generally don't do this because we don't drink water before we've made Kiddush, after we started davening, but technically the Chiv of Kiddush begins after Shacharis. And there are many, many Svarim that Menachas Elozer and numerous much earlier ones, the Eliyahu Rabba, Avadi Yosef has an essay where he collects many of the Svarim that they say that the Chiv of Kiddush only begins after Shacharis and maybe even just before Musaf. And since there is, I think he quotes the Beis Yitzchak, who has that approach, there are many, many Achreinim who say that. So certainly in this situation, and the Pesel Chochma paskins that way, so certainly in this situation, it would make a lot of sense to me that the Tzibor should have as much of the davening as it normally has. Individuals who need reprieve, so then they can drink and refresh themselves, certainly until Tchias. And if a person's really feeling very, very uncomfortable and getting hydrated would make a difference, they could probably, there'd be grounds to say that they can even sip through Musaf, because every Rishonim would say that one can drink water before Kiddush. And that's not the norm of Pesach, but in these kinds of situations, so that would be something that I would see as being... Namazin, yeah. But for Kiddush, again, generally speaking, that the Mishnah says that that's for Erev and that's for Maaser Sheni and for a third. And for Kiddush, so the general again, the Rav Yishenim will say that one can take and nourish oneself before making Kiddush, but the Rishonim will say that one cannot eat before Kiddush. This is even a Teima Ba'alma before Kiddush. Because it's a little bit different, because there, but for Kiddush, we're saying that when we make Kiddush, we want to be Mekadesh all of the Achilas. So it's a little bit of a different idea, and that's what it would apply to everything. So the other accommodation that I would say is that there are piyutim that we say during Kriyashma. So those, from my thinking, the major purpose in those piyutim, and there are many shuls that don't say piyutim during Kriya Shema. And the approach of Lithuanian Shivas is not to say the piyutim during Kriya Shema, because they didn't want to have a hefshek then. But my thinking is that the piyutim during Kriya Shema are very, very helpful. They're helpful in two scores. One is that a value in and of itself, helps us absorb even with some of the later davening. Nevertheless, the piyutim during Kriya Shema, so that I could see that instead of saying them all, we would have the parts that are said out loud, and that would catch the central ideas of those piyutim. The piyutim that come after in Chazaras Hashatz, so there also, there could be the first few are mostly said by the Chazan quietly. And then there are, and the Tzibur focuses along with it. And then there are some piyutim that, I'll point this out in writing, there are some piyutim that are said responsively. Since then, we could say them quietly instead of responsively. But the reason that I don't think that we have to cut out more piyutim is because I think that it gives us an appreciation of what the piyutim do for us. And that's what I want to spend a few moments on now. I think that to appreciate the piyutim is to get a much greater sense of what's happening during davening. So, for example, the skeleton of our davening is Malchus Zichronos and Shivers. And the way that Chazal envisioned Malchus Zichronos and Shivers was 10 psukim for Malchus, 10 for Shivers, 10 for Zichronos. Now, Schatayni Mazkir Ayoim, it's hard for me to become inspired by saying the 10 psukim. And it's hard for me to focus on, it's hard work to focus on the aspect of Malchus during the 10 psukim and the aspect of this. Again, after a lot of study, a lot of work, many, many years, I'm able to draw certain ideas. But are they inspiring? So that's part of the, I think, the Yerida Sederis. You see, even the Anshei Knesset Gdola, they established 10 psukim, but before they finished, they introduced many, many paragraphs that give much greater expression to the ideas that are being expressed in the 10 psukim. And we get much more sort of out of the Aleinu and much greater expression to Malchus by saying, than the psukim themselves. So it seems to me that the davening tracks a certain Yeridas Hadoros, that as we have become less, or harder to inspire, so to speak, and we become less attuned to some of the nuances and less excited about, let me say, it's not the right word, but less moved by some of the psukim, the way Chazal envisioned that we would be moved, so then Chazal themselves already had to pack the 10 psukim in a context which will more deliberately address us. And then I think that after a while, that also was not enough to inspire it to move. So we needed the Paitanim, and they gave expression to certain Din most in the davening. I don't think it's in the 10 psukim of Zichronos in the Nesan HaTokef. So Nesan HaTokef was a late piyut, but Klal Yisrael apparently needed the Nesan HaTokef because we were not as attuned and as moved as we should be by the 10 psukim of Zichronos. And the same thing is true with Malchus, that when we say the Melech Elyon, when we say the describe how the Malachim and when we say the pie in the we think of the Tana Tokev. So the piyutim have been much more shaping our yomim neirom experience, our yomim neirom hergeshim, than the skeleton of davening. And that's why when the Maril says, I think when the Maril says that we should be very, very careful not to tamper at all with the piyutim and the nuschois, because this is where Klal Yisrael has updated, Yisrael has addressed how we're going to connect Klal Yisrael to the themes that Chazal want us to connect to. And to pare away these piyutim, I think, would be undermine the core of the davening. We often point out, the Meiri says that the slichos are a targil, the slichos are an exercise, getting us ready for Yom Neirom. We point out that Kelmer Magid says that what we should be doing during the Elul is when Kriya Shema, be thinking about how Makabel Omal Hashemayim and how we Makabel Kadosh Baruch Hu Mishas Malchus and Rosh Hashanah Pesukei Dezimra. We're being Mamlech Kadosh Baruch Hu Minam Lichacha, and we should be thinking about how we're going to be Mamlech on Rosh Hashanah. So the same thing is true for the day itself. When we say V'chol Ma'aminim, even though it's after the the expression to during the Shemayin Esrei. So that's why I think that it would be ill-advised. And that's why I'm suggesting these other tikkunim to make the davening more comfortable. Give you another example. The Rishos, when the Chazan starts davening. So he says, a Rishos, the Aichilu Lekeil. That's a Rishos, the Yonim Imas. So these are core ideas of our davening, that we need to get Rishos to daven. That we need that, we can't simply step into the Rabbanu Shalom and present ourselves. So this core idea of requiring Rishos, of not being that the davening is a privilege, that we need, they're not up to davening until we get ourselves in the right frame of mind. So those are expressed by all the piyutim of Rishos, to take out the Rishos piyutim that we say, that the Shliach Tzibur says, as he's starting the Chazaras Hashatz, that's to take away core ideas that apparently at some time were expressed quickly, minimally, and people attach themselves to it. But Klal Yisrael understood that with the passage of time, we need to be inspired and to be moved more deliberately and more articulately. One of the great defenders of piyutim, the Mogen Avraham quotes, is that the piyutim come from the different parts of Klal Yisrael. What that means is that he points out there is a minog that shul should have 12 windows. Our shul is 12 windows. Where does that idea come from? That every shevet has a different way of expressing and connecting Kadosh Baruch Hu. So the piyutim bring together the expression of different parts of Klal Yisrael. And that's the idea that we're expressing, that different parts of Klal Yisrael wanted to give greater expression to the individual being Mamluch HaKadosh Baruch Hu, greater expression to us taking a position amongst the Malachim, greater expression to the Yayim Adin, to Hayayim Haras Olam. So Klal Yisrael, as an aggregate, pulled together so many of the ideas. And again, would we be attuned to what every single pasuk is, and we probably would be able to have the fullness of the Rosh Hashanah davening by saying the 10 pesukim. But I think that the piyutim are what gives expression to so many of the ideas, and that's why I would want to find the accommodations that we need to make for the difficulties of having to wear a mask and the heat of the day, find the accommodations I mentioned before. Take out the mishabeirachs and provide individuals with different strategies. Come late, leave early, step outside of the tent, take off the mask for a few minutes. We have there used to be smoking areas. So we'll have non-masking areas. Thank you. Let me just finish by pointing out that our parts of them have such a much greater and much more profound impact, and that we can profoundly attach ourselves to them. So there's no question that the concept of Malchus, of Kadosh Baruch Hu's sovereignty, of Kadosh Baruch Hu's control, that is an idea that we, after the events of the last year and precariousness of the events going forward, so we can attach ourselves to the Malchus of Kadosh Baruch Hu, and we'll deliberate on this at a greater length at other times, is that the Bikush for life, the Zechreinu L'chaim, because everybody has been involved in the Ishtadlus of Chaim and of Chiyus this year more than any other year. The Cheshbonos, the restrictions that we've made day in and day out of all been a Zechreinu L'chaim. So our Bikush for Zechreinu L'chaim, our Bikush for Kosveinu L'chaim, so that this year is a different kind of a bikush. We come to Kadosh Baruch Hu and say, look at the ishtadlus that we have been doing. And then the ishtadlus becomes a tefillah. Okay.